opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment this morning. It is 7:05 in the morning on the 10th of January, 2022. The news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring compassion. Community and Courage, Shasta Regional Medical Center. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and our chat room is open at KCNR1460.com. For this first segment, we're not going to be taking phone calls because they already started at 5 till 7 this morning. And if you have comments or questions, we're here with Supervisor Leonard Modi. Put them in our chat room at KCNR1460.com. What's the weather look like there, young lady? Ashley's with us this morning.
Good morning.
The wild and crazy one.
Yeah, well, that's who I am. We are looking at temperatures around the low 60s for a high for most of this week, with clouds scattered throughout the week and lows in the low 40s. So we're looking at pretty much the same thing today, tomorrow, going on out.
You mean we're not going to have rain this week?
Not looking at rain, and the 10 to 14 day forecast is also anticipating below average precipitation levels for this area.
Whoa.
So just a slight north-northwest wind, which is helping keep some of those overnight lows a little higher.
You're trying to tell me I won't have any reason at all to not do things around
like
outside
the house. Like
go ride
your horse. It will be a great week to ride your horse.
Ride my horse.
And we're seeing partly cloudy, which means we should have some beautiful sunrises and sunsets. So if you snap a picture of that and you want to share it with us, our Facebook page is Free Fire Radio. So let us know.
Yeah, we do that. Okay. Thank you. Hey, the weather is brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane, a veteran-owned business out of Anderson, gives discounts for seniors and veterans. You can give them a call at 365-3793. Hey, we're here with Supervisor Leonard Modi. Good morning, Supervisor.
Good morning, Carl. Thanks
Good morning,
for
Leonard.
Having me on.
Hey, I always start off the show with asking people to give us a brief bio on what, who they are, what they've done.
Okay, I'm a local person, born and raised here, as is my wife, and went to local Shasta High School, and then from there attended the University of Notre Dame, where I have a business management degree. And then I also later on attended USC, where I have a master's in finance. I love this area. After going to school, I wanted to come back here. I had an opportunity to be hired on at the Reading Police Department. Spent 31 years career there, and went up through the ranks, eventually becoming a police of police.
What got you into police work, though? I mean, you know, we've always known you as a policeman. And, you know, all the way up to chief. But you went to University of Notre Dame, which is, I realize it's a small college, not well known. Were your family in police work? Said to Leonard one morning, you know, I'm going to get up and go on the streets.
Yeah, my goal had always been to be in business. And, when I was in college, I spent 2 summers working on the Sheriff's Lake Patrol. And just, I enjoy doing that.
Getting a good tan out there.
Well, we had to wear long pants. I don't know if that good tan or not. But that was enough to pique my interest. And I liked the idea of the camaraderie that came with that. It was very similar to my sports programs that I was in.
Uh-huh.
So, and at the time, Reading had just annexed Enterprise and doubled the size of the city.
What high school did you go to?
Shasta.
Shasta, okay.
Yeah, so it kind of just worked out well for me, an opportunity to still stay in my hometown and work here. I actually worked in business for a while before I took my job with the police department, but this was an opportunity to be here in Reading, and that's what brought me here.
Okay. When did you know that, because a lot of times we lose in during the training there, we lose up 40% of our officers there. when did you know that this was something that you could do and do well?
Yeah, you know, for a while I thought it would be something I enjoyed, but I thought it wouldn't be forever. But about 4 years in, I just found that I just was still really enjoying it, really liked it, and that's, I think, when I knew that my opportunities would be enough to make it worthwhile for me to stay here, and decided to do that. So,
okay. And then, of course, you rose through the ranks and became chief when?
In 2002. And spent 6 years as the police chief.
Okay. As I was getting here. See, nothing starts for me in Reading until 2007. And people say, I go, nothing started for me until 2007 when I arrived here. And then even then, that first 8 months, I was just riding my motorcycle and hanging out at Tobacco and Brew while Linda was working. So.
Well, and that makes sense. It would be all... unknown to you and stuff. And that's sometimes what I find for myself is because I've lived here all my life that I have I go back a long ways thinking about things and remember how it was when I was growing up and how Reading was. And Reading has changed a lot from the 12,000 population when I was a kid growing up.
12,000?
Yeah.
People tell me that Hilltop was a dirt road. Is that true?
It is.
Or is that they're just... They're just saying, yeah, I remember in Hilltop, it was a dirt road.
Anyway. It was after you, what would be now 44, from there up and around. Of course, there was no I-5, and it was just a dirt road. There was a big drive-in theater there at kind of where the casino club is.
So after Chief, what was your reason for running for supervisor the first time?
Because I have always been involved in my community, when I had a chance to go through Leadership Reading back in 1997, I just found that I like being involved in what's going on. So I've served on a lot of nonprofit boards here in Reading, like the YMCA, the Community Foundation, Mercy Hospital Advisory Board, and others. And so I just felt like I still had more to give and I wanted to be involved in things and not just sitting on the sidelines. And the opportunity arose where the supervisor in that district had chosen not to run again. Mm-hmm. And so I made the decision to jump in and take a shot at it.
And that was?
2008.
That was 2008, right after you retired.
Yes, I actually ran during the last portion when I was still the chief because I retired in October and then I took office in January of 2009.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Right. Hey, we're going to take an early break. We'll come back. We've got a lot of questions to address here over the next 45 minutes. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank, community oriented. This is a local community bank, my friends. It's locally owned, local board of directors. Jeff Fink, who has guided it through this explosive growth that's had over the last 15 years, is now being kicked upstairs to have the whole area run like it does right here in Reading. And Matt Mosley is moving up to be the president and CEO of the Cornerstone Community Bank. Three branches right now, 500 Riverside Way in Red Bluff, the main branch in the Cobblestone Shopping Center right downtown at 1845 California Street. But opening up this month will be the Anderson branch of Cornerstone Community Bank. They've been moving local dreams forward since the day they opened. We'll be right back with Supervisor Leonard Modi.
Just a good old boy, never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw, been in trouble with the law since the day they were born. Straightening the curve.
Last month, the Shasta County Board of Supervisors had the opportunity to not renew the contract for the Dominion voting machines. This was a lease agreement valued at over $2 million. Supervisor Modi voted to renew the lease agreement and continue using Dominion machines. Now we find out that a representative from Dominion Voting, Inc. has donated money directly to Modi's campaign account. Shasta County, you deserve better. Vote yes, recall Modi. Paid for by Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back into a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Burke's Construction Management is a local rating business that specializes in construction management. BCM is a North State leader in project management, pre-construction design, and all facets of construction. They always have a 25% discount for our veterans and first responders, and during these difficult times, they would like to extend a helping hand to the community by offering all fire victims a 25% discount also for the remainder of the year. Burke's Construction Management can be reached at 530-338-2010. That's 530-338-2010. Burke's Construction Management.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family-owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi, I'm Krista Reed, a teacher and mama bear. I've watched as Shasta County's Board of Supervisors put our children and youth last. This recall is a chance to put our kids first. Vote yes to recall Modi. Vote for Tim Garman, a papa bear who took a stand for Happy Valley's children. We need someone who will put our kids first. That person is Tim Garman. Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and DeBot. This portion of the show brought to you by Craftmaster Windshield Repair. There's nobody who knows windshields better than Jeff Wirst, a veteran-owned business, and he is truly from the old school. He doesn't take chances with your safety, whether it's a small chip or a crack over 2 feet in length. Jeff Wirst can fix it. He guarantees his work for a free inspection and analysis. Stop by 3208 South Market Street or give Jeff a call at 241-8373 for an appointment today. I'm with Supervisor Leonard Modi. Leonard, when you were police chief, you were also assigned the duties of assistant city manager. Is that correct?
Yes, I actually just did both jobs for about 7 months. What had happened is the current assistant city manager left suddenly. Kurt Starmer needed some time to recruit and fill the position, and he talked to me. I was one of the senior department heads, and he asked if I could fill in and do both jobs for a period of time while he went through the recruitment process to hire a new assistant city manager. So I did that for about 7 months. There's a lot of talk about it. I did get a pay upgrade for that portion of time that I was the assistant, but we strictly made it so it was just the money that I received then was not towards my retirement, did not spike my retirement, did not raise my retirement. People try to say that, but it's just not true.
Okay. But you got paid for that job along with the other, but it had nothing to do with your retirement.
No, nothing my retirement pay. And then when he hired then Barry Tippin to be the assistant, I went back to my just my police duties and did that for another 6 months or so before I retired.
And then you retired and went right in, and then you'd been elected at that point to supervisor.
Yes, and so about 3 months in between retiring and starting at the county.
Okay. Grand jury. came out this year with a saying is that you used your position to take care of your stuff, misfeasance in office. Care to address this?
Sure. During the fire, on an occasion, the sheriff Basenko came to me and asked if I wanted to, you know, tour the area, which I said yes. And as we were driving around, he said, you know, we can go by your house and check on it. I said, great. We pulled up and I said, hey, can I hook up my generator while I'm here? And he says, sure. We help for lots of people. And he actually got out and helped me put gas in the generator and we fired it up. He told me, don't worry about it. So we do it for a lot of people. It's not a big thing. I said, okay, great. And then on two other occasions, I went with the undersheriff and was out around my district looking at different things, but went to my house twice. So I thought it was okay because the sheriff had said it was okay. And he said they do it for lots of people. And in fact, on many occasions, I took food, water, gas into other people who were stayed in the man in French Gulch who had stayed behind and had not evacuated. So I tried to do that for a lot of people I didn't know. People I would drive around, I saw, you know, their water left on at their house because of the fire. I would turn it off and things like that with the law enforcement people. I think what bothers me is they're trying to spread this rumor that I'm guilty of something and like a crime. And when you read the grand jury report, it doesn't even mention the word guilty. In fact, what it says, and this is a quote, is no laws were broken and the proper escorts were provided. I could have easily have flashed my badge or something and tried to sneak by or something. I didn't do that. I was just up front about it and did it. But the grand jury said the rules are rules and you didn't follow those rules. And I accept that. And I publicly apologized for that. And I said if I had to do it over again under those circumstances, knowing what I do now, I probably wouldn't do it. So I just tried to learn from my mistake and move forward. But there was no crime committed. That's just a falsehood that's being spread.
The sheriff wrote he wrote a letter.
Yes.
That was very damning.
Well, it was full of a lot of innuendos and inaccuracies. I think the sheriff was out for revenge, and the reason why is a lot of people don't know it, but in his very last year in office, he actually pulled a stunt where he retired from work and then came back and got sworn into his new office 2 days later, and actually was going to receive his full retirement pay and then his sheriff's pay and get double pay while he was in office. The only reason we found out about it is CalPERS reported to us that, hey, you've got this guy in your list that you're paying, but he's retired. We're going, what are you talking about? And he had done this all secretly behind everybody's back. Like he got caught. Joe Comendy approached him. When he realized that, he pulled his paperwork out, and then shortly later, he did fully retire. I think he was mad at us for catching him and was trying to get even. I find it very interesting that he had this issue, yet waited almost, 2.5 years to even bring it up. And isn't it interesting that it came up right before they tried to start the recall? So I think it's just a very vindictive move by the sheriff.
But what you did was using your position according to the grand jury.
It was not following the rules according to the grand jury.
Okay.
I didn't know it at the time, because the sheriff had indicated to me it was not a big deal. I found it interesting that they, didn't ask him about all the other people that he took in, including other retired elected officials. So,
that gives a lot of people who lost their homes or in that situation, they're going, well, they wouldn't let me in. And to hear this is being done by, some people get in and some don't. And I'm not talking about you, but I'm just talking about other people coming in. Have we addressed this in such a way is that people who still have homes and generators, that they're going to be able to be taken care of on a regular basis?
You know, we're trying to do things to help people, get in afterwards. People were escorted back in as soon as possible and when it was safe. We just developed a new program at the county for our agricultural people, particularly people who have livestock, that there's ways for them. They're going through a class now that just started this last weekend that will properly train them how to follow the process. And when during there's a big fire and they need to get in to tend their their livestock, and when it's safe to do, there will now be a program to do that. So we are trying to make some things better.
Okay. Let's go to the pandemic here.
Sure.
That seems to have been the initiator for a lot of the consternation in our community. Well, I would say our nation. I think our community is a microcosm of our nation right now on vaccinations, mandates, you will, you won't, the national level changing the parameters, it seems at whim. What when the pandemic hit, what were your thoughts on this?
Well, I was concerned, obviously, and then when they talked about maybe a 2-week shutdown at the beginning, I never really thought that would be the case. I thought it would be longer than that because you just don't stop a pandemic that quickly. So, I think what's interesting here is our community is pretty divided about this. You know, it's kind of 50-50 if people want to take precautions and those who feel like we don't need to. I think what's important is we tried to, as a board, try to walk that fine line to, you know, keep people safe, but at the same time recognizing that businesses needed to keep their livelihood going and keep working. So we tried to work mostly through education. You know, we didn't shut down like big cities and counties did. We asked people to follow the rules. We tried to encourage them to follow the rules, but we did not issue a single citation during so far. We
have not. Does that include Health and Human Services?
Yes. We have not issued it. The county has not issued a single citation.
Now, your definition of citation is something that if you don't do it, it's going to cost you money? Because they did issue warning orders.
Yes. Citation is when you're going to have consequences. Just like if you get a ticket, you have consequences.
Right.
And so it's a citation versus, you know, warnings and stuff. Absolutely. We try again. That's what you do when you're trying to educate people. You try to give them warnings to help them, you know, comply with the law to be safe. Again, keep in mind, you've got people on both sides of the fence. And so it's very, no matter what you do, you're going to have people who are not going to be really happy. But we tried to do what would be best for our community overall.
Would you ever vote for a mandate for vaccinations?
Yeah, we've actually said that that's come up several times. That's what people don't want to remember or think about. It actually came up, and we have said with it, we prefer not to do mandates, that we would prefer education. I've said before that I think you're going to get more cooperation by trying to educate people and get them to take the vaccine than just trying to force people. Giving them a choice is something that people want, and we have tried to make that, you know, available to them. So, but, you know, a lot of things are beyond our control. I mean, it's just like all this conversation about the schools or the healthcare workers. They're trying to make that out that's the county's fault and that we somehow could have done something different. We have no, absolutely zero say-so over the schools. It's the school boards. And if the school boards choose to do something, that's their choice. But we, by choosing one side or the other, makes no difference. And what my biggest concern was is that people would think, well, the county said we could do this or not do this. And then when the state showed up to do enforcement, they would throw that out as, oh, hey, time out. You know, I have an excuse. And that's not true. And so what would happen is they could be cited. You know, teachers can have their credentials. Healthcare workers who are licensed by the state are going to face the issues with the state, not us.
And that happened several times. ABC showing up? Was there any case where we had a business shut down in this county by the state? Do you know of?
No, not that I know of. And I'm not even aware. I don't know if they were even cited by the state. I don't know for the sure or not. I know that the state, the ABC, came and talked to people. You know, a lot of people who think the county did it, actually what was happening, because we were told businesses would call us and say, hey, my partner business over here, my competition is not following the rules, not shutting down, and we're going to call the state because you guys, you know, you're not enforcing this stuff. And so a lot of people just called the state directly.
Okay. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. I want to talk about the CARES money.
Let's talk about that, and then let's also talk about some of this false...
Okay. We'll come back for that.
Yeah.
This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at State Granite. Mike Hubert of State Granite is one heck of a guy when it comes to his work with, I'd say one hell of an artist. Let me put it that way. When it comes to working with granite, marble, slate, that's Mike Huber. He is truly an artist. He's the kind of guy that you can say, you know, you say, well, this is what we want. You work with him because he has free consultations. And then once you agree on it, you can literally leave your house for 3 days and let him just go to town on it. When you come home, it's going to be a work of art. I mean that. He did it at our home, and we were so, so pleased with the work he does. He does that for everybody. That's Mike Huber. It's a veteran-owned business. That's State Granite. You can learn more at estategranite.com or give him a call at 241-STONE. We'll be right back.
I'm a dirt road in the headlights. I'm a mama's boy. I'm a fist fight. Kinda county light, kinda cold beer. Little hat down, little John Deere.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Wind River Resort and Casino with Primal Fighting Championship presents Fight Night. Extreme mixed martial arts cage fighting at Wind River Resort and Casino on Saturday, January 15th. It's in the cage. Full contact fighting. This intense action-packed event sells out. Get your tickets now. Call 1-800-280-UIN to reserve a room in our hotel and purchase tickets. Great entertainment is happening with cage fighting at Wind River Resort and Casino on Saturday, January 15th. Tickets start at $35 plus fee. Must be 21 to attend.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage is having a grand opening at their new location in the Shasta Gateway Center at 1773 Highway 273 in Anderson, January 22nd. They feature new and existing vendors along with collectible glassware, jewelry, sports memorabilia, Tiffany lamps, antique desks and dressers, dolls and toys, clothing and hats, and much, much more. It's Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage grand opening with free drawings throughout the day. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at their new location in the Shasta Gateway Center at 1773 Highway 273, Anderson.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
This is what I love.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Our guest today is Supervisor Leonard Modi. Leonard, the CARES Act. They're talking about $34 million you must enforce state demands on it. Well, in other words, the strings attached.
Yeah.
And do we take the money and the strings, and what are the strings?
Well, and just to clarify, that's the ARPA money, which is, that's a Recovery Act money that's coming from the feds versus the CARES Act, which we, you know, got.
So this is ARPA then.
Is the $34 million. The CARES Act was about $18 million that we received. But to your question, all the money that we receive from the state and federal government, all of it has strings attached. All of it has requirements to do certain things, and that's the nature of the beast. Now, could they, I guess, say, you know, we want you to enforce things? Well, they could, but my answer is those were, we had requirements prior to this one with the masking and stuff. And did, you know, name to me the places where we enforced that. And there are none.
You let the businesses enforce it the way they wanted to. Is that correct?
We did. We let them. We tried to educate them on the concerns that the health department was telling us about from the state and said, these are the issues. These are the ways you can protect your employees and your customers. But we're leaving it to you to try to do it. Now, if people complain, and then do we go in and maybe have some people come talk to them again and say, hey, you know, these are the things you should be trying to do? Sure. But we did not go out and cite people or make them do it. And in fact, as I mentioned, you know, most of the complaints came by competition, you know, reporting people.
Right.
Yeah. So
would you close a business down?
No, I think we would, you know, we've tried to keep everybody open. I recognize it's a small town. If people need to keep their jobs. In fact, it's one of the arguments that I made directly to Dr. Galley, who is the director of public health for the state, as well as the governor's chief of staff, that said, one size does not fit all. You can't treat Shasta County or Modoc or Lassen like you treat LA or San Francisco. We're just totally different. And I know I made that argument multiple times when I had an opportunity to do that.
I'm going to jump here to, you've just been elected chair of the Board of Supervisors. One of the things you did was you've changed the
format.
You didn't cut out anybody's right to speak. You changed the format, though.
I did, and the reason why is, I think everybody should have an opportunity to speak, and I have, you know, no issue whatsoever with that. But what I was concerned about is this is a business meeting where people who have regular business come to conduct stuff. And so if I was a person who had a map change I was trying to happen or needed some kind of, you know, permit for something, and I had to come in and wait for 5 hours before I got to be heard. We had people last year who had liens on their property because of they needed it got cleaned up through code enforcement, and they had a chance to come and appeal those liens and maybe get them reduced. And those poor people were there for 6 hours before they got their turn. And I just think that's totally unfair to the public who comes to do business. You have to keep in mind that anybody, when it comes to public comment, have other ways to contact us as well, to tell us their opinion. They can, you know, call or write or leave emails and texting and stuff. So they have other opportunities. So what I did is try to follow what the city of Reading did, except I actually gave even more time. The city of Reading has 30 minutes of public comment, and then they go to their meeting, and then they come back to it. I actually set it up as 45 minutes. And interestingly enough, had there not been some people who tried to distract us and stop the process by going beyond their 3 minutes, if they had not done that, we would have gotten to all the speakers who at least signed up to speak during that first 45 minutes.
The complaints were is that when people were talking to the, and not just at you, but at the Board of Supervisors during the COVID, the lockdowns and all this, that y'all were just ignoring what they were saying.
Well, I think people think that you have to look at them all the time when you're talking. My ears work when I'm looking or not looking. I listen to everything everybody said. it got to the point, I will say, that, you know, many people are just saying the same thing over and over and over. And not just different people, but the same people would come back and just say the same thing. I hear their frustration. I hear their concerns. There wasn't anything I could do about it at that point. We had made, several times we had made decisions, and it moved on to something else, and they still wanted to go back and, you know, rehash an old decision. And at this, it's just not productive for a meeting like that.
Okay. Would you say we have a problem with people's feeling of safety here in Shasta County? Personal safety, crime.
Oh,
in this.
Yeah, I don't know if it's
anecdotal, if it's, you know, but yeah, it seems like we're running into a lot of people that are affected by it.
Well, I think some people, I'm sure, are concerned about safety in general. I think there's probably others who are just, you know, upset that so many criminals don't have consequences like they used to. And they, you know, a lot of people want to say, well, you know, you need to have a jail or something more, a bigger jail. And, you know, we're going to probably talk about that a little bit later, about some of our plans that we're working on. But keep in mind, we did not create this. This came back from the days of Prop 36, when they changed all the punishments for drug use, and then Prop 47, Prop 57, AB 109. A lot of the crimes that are being committed, you don't go to jail anymore. The law changed, and so they don't go to jail. They stay on the street, and that's what's unfortunate, because I think there should be consequences. I'm a law enforcement guy. I believe that.
The board turned down a grant, or turned down jail money, what, 2009, 2010, we were offered money to build a jail?
We had several grant opportunities to build a jail. What we didn't have was the money to operate it. And what was disappointing to me was Sheriff Prosenko at this time could not give us solid numbers. Every time he would come into the meeting, his numbers would grow. And so, like, the first jail was going to, you know, he said would cost about $6 million more to run. Probably turn out to be closer to $9 or $10 million. We don't have that kind of money in our budget every single year, ongoing cost. And the second time with the scaled down version, it was going to be, first he said $1.9 million, then it was $2.1 million, and then $2.9 million, then $3.1 million, $3.4 million. It just kept going and going. You couldn't run your business that way. If you were setting up your business, you would want to know what the costs were, and the costs kept changing, and you couldn't decide what they were. You wouldn't make that decision.
How much is it? Our jail right now is overrun, would you say, with criminals?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And
partly because the state's not taking prisoners back in state prison anymore.
Well, I thought that they had done that for a while. Aren't they taking them back now, though?
Well, the ones, but there's a lot of other ones that would have gone to prison.
Of 47.
Yeah. 50,
okay. What we're going to talk about in the next segment is about that, is plans on trying to do that, our staffing is woefully short in the jail. We have to turn a bad guy loose to have a worse bad guy come in there. The other thing is, before he started the show, this guy walks in off the street, wanted to know if he could be on the show. I thought about it for a second. Nah, maybe later. Homelessness. What can the county do about homelessness?
Well, actually, we are working on some things that I'm involved with, even at the state level with my other assignment with CSAC. There's a program out there through the CSAC Finance Corporation, which I happen to be the board president. And we've developed workforce housing. And just in this last year, just in 12 months alone, there's been 7,000 units converted into housing for people. And
that's in Shasta County?
Not in Shasta County,
okay.
In the state.
All right.
That's the process that's coming. And some of this money is available to us up here as well. And so that's what, you know, the state's going to, you know, they had a lot of money in their budget 2 years ago to deal with housing. And then when the pandemic hit, everything got put on hold. But yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of effort back into the housing market for those who need housing. Because with homeless, it's those who bad circumstances and aren't in a house. There's ones who are criminals. There's a lot who are mentally ill. There's some who just choose that lifestyle. And you can't expect mentally ill people just to somehow on their own fix it. They need help. You got to get them off the street into something that gives them some assistance.
Well, we have a number of organizations right here in the county and the city that are helping people, but we can't force them to do it.
Well, see, and that's the point. You can't force them, and those groups are giving them services, but what we need to do is to find some housing for them. Services is one thing, but having a roof over your head is something different. And you're right. If people don't want to come in and take advantage of it, it's the old adage, right? You can lead a horse to water, can't make him drink. So it's hard, and it's not an overnight solution. It's going to take some time.
Okay. We're here with Supervisor Leonard Modi. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading, and they are great people. Whether you're looking for that, Native American jewelry, state jewelry, or maybe you want to design your own, all of it is at Four Winds Jewelry, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. We'll be right back.
Way we were supposed to live, I wouldn't trade one single day here in small town USA.
Last month, the Shasta County Board of Supervisors had the opportunity to not renew the contract for the Dominion voting machines. This was a lease agreement valued at over $2 million. Supervisor Modi voted to renew the lease agreement and continue using Dominion machines. Now we find out that a representative from Dominion Voting, Inc. has donated money directly to Modi's campaign account. Shasta County, you deserve better. Vote yes, recall Modi. Paid for by Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Are you not getting treatment for a work injury because of denials? Call me, Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, at 530-262-2168, and I will get you results. The insurance company and your employer have an attorney working hard for them. You need somebody fighting for you. When you call Gorman Law, you're going to speak with me, not a paralegal, because the last thing you should be worried about is whether or not your attorney is working for you. There's no cost until your case is settled. Consultations are free and confidential. Call today, 530-262-2168. That's 530-262-2168.
Hi, I'm Krista Reed, a teacher and mama bear. I've watched as Shasta County's Board of Supervisors put our children and youth last. This recall is a chance to put our kids first. Vote yes to recall Modi. Vote for Tim Garman, a papa bear who took a stand for Happy Valley's children. We need someone who will put our kids first. That person is Tim Garman. Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
And now, back to our show.
I miss you dancing on a John Deere
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 44 degrees out there, cloudy. It's going to be a pretty nice day, not going to be raining. The rest of the week's going to be pretty good. Weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call at 365-3793. We're here with Supervisor Leonard Modi. Let's continue on with public safety here. I'm sorry, homelessness for a couple more minutes. I mean, it's grown and grown and grown. It's not getting any better.
It's not. And as we were talking about, you know, a big portion of those who have mental health problems. And one of the things that we've been working, and I've been working on with my CSAC colleagues, that's the other counties, is to push for more money for behavioral health facilities. And we're pushing right now for $700 million in the budget to build facilities in more rural places like ours so that people can get more services rather than having to be shipped out or travel to some other place. So it's a matter of trying to take care of the people we have here to give them the assistance they need to get back on their feet.
Health and Human Services gets a buttload of money.
They do, but most of it is directed by the state on where it's spent.
But isn't there money in there for mental health services?
There is.
Yes. Is there a way to redirect that money so to do what you're talking about?
No, the difference is that's money for services, and it is used for services. What I'm talking about is actual one-time dollars to build structures.
To build a structure.
Yeah.
And then would it be the county would have people in there manning the facilities?
The county could have that. You could also have the private sector in there as well to help these people. It's just a matter of providing more services here. One of the complaints we get from people is if they have someone who needs assistance, they sometimes have to send them to a different county where that facility is located. We also just, during the break, if we can just skip,
sure.
You mentioned public safety, and we want to go back to that
yeah.
a little bit. We are working on a public safety campus. We'll have a detention facility to give us more capacity, but also we'll build in some of those services like we're just talking, like mental health services, but rehabilitation services. Because if you have people who are committing crimes, particularly those who are drug offended, if you don't do something to help change their lifestyle, nothing's going to change. You're going to get back out on the street, and you're going to be seeing them again and dealing with them again. So we're trying to put this together as a public safety campus to deal with this.
Well, we tried that with in that last bond issue, and it got clobbered. People just want a jail.
They do.
How can we get a jail?
Well, the problem is jail doesn't solve the issue, because keep in mind what we talked about earlier, most of the crimes, a lot of them, you don't go to jail anymore. You just in and out. So what you have to do is when you have them for that short period, you start to steer them into other services. It doesn't mean that they don't have a jail. It just means you, in order to qualify for the money, and also our CEO, Matt Pontus, he's familiar with some of these things from being from two other bigger counties, and he's got a plan in place for us to help deal with some of this, to build the facility where you can lock people up who are committing crimes, but while they're there, get them some services.
Oh, no, I think everybody agrees on that. But the first thing we need is a hammer.
I don't disagree with that.
Okay. Public safety
campus.
And I think Eric McGreeny was hired by the CEO to coordinate all of this. Have you had any briefings on that?
We have had one already, and we're bringing another one up in, I believe it's going to be in February, is another status of where it's coming and moving forward. Actually, it's going to be the presentation. That one was just a briefing. This is going to be more of a presentation of here's the plan.
Okay.
You know, here's how we're going to finance it. Here's how we're going to move forward.
Do we have the money to do that?
We believe we do. Somewhat we may have to borrow. But we think it's important to do that, and we're restructuring some of our money that we have to make this a higher priority.
One of the things you mentioned is broadband.
Yes.
We have kids out in our county. You know, we talk about distance learning. Oh, okay, let's dial that one up. What's plans on broadband?
Well, what's interesting is there's no way the county could just, you know, pay for it. So it had to be something at a much larger level, at the state level. And again, CSAC, the State Association of Counties, which is like the League of Cities that I sit on, we pushed, made it a number one priority with the state this last year, because it is important for all the reasons you said. But the problem is like big city, big counties, big urban counties, it's not their issue because they have it already.
Mm-hmm.
But it was important for us to get them on board with us to support us. So we got, you know, people like Orange County, Merced County to support this, even though they don't need it like we do. And by doing that, it's that collaboration that we were able to do, is to put the hammer, so to speak, on the state legislature to give us, to fund this, to put this forward. So they actually have $6.5 billion, that's with the B, billion dollars earmarked for broadband throughout California. And that's going to make a huge difference in our county.
Is there a percentage of that that says it's going to rural counties?
A lot of it's going to go to rural. Because what it's set up for is they have what they call the main line, then they have the middle mile, and then the last mile. The last mile is the places like when you're trying to get, you know, to Shingletown or Igo or Ono. If that's the money where there's not that many customers, so businesses don't want to do it because there's not enough return for them. That's where that money is going to come in to build the infrastructure that normally the big companies wouldn't pay for.
Okay.
That's the big difference. And that's why it's going to really be a big thing for us, because it will get that extra length of wire to someone's house that normally wouldn't be there.
Well, we for sure, you know, with the way the world is today, we need that for our kids.
Oh.
Especially, you know, you get kids up in Bieber.
Sure.
trying to be online, and it's tough.
Well, and you mentioned the distance.
Well, just around here someplace.
Yeah. I mean, I have a problem at my house, and just distance learning is one thing, but what about all the kids or people who want to run businesses out of their houses or from remote locations, or people who want to just, you know, learn other things without having to drive somewhere an hour to get to a place? So it is a huge thing.
Zero-based budgeting keeps coming up, where everybody each year has to come up. They start with zero, and they say, this is how much I need to run my office, my division, my department this year. Do we do that? And if so, and if we don't, why not?
Well, every year there is the budget process that they go through. And it's a long – everybody thinks they just show up in June and we make this big decision. It's worked on for 7 months. They're already working on it now for our June budget. And it goes through many, many iterations with the staff. They review it, change it. You know, they have mm-hmm. to justify it. Keep in mind, though, that with our budget, 85% of our budget is state and federal monies that come in for state and federal programs. It's earmarked specifically for certain things, and we can't change that. So the money that we do have, the real say-so over our general fund budget, we spend close to 75% of that money on public safety. That's the sheriff, the DA, probation, fire.
Mm-hmm.
So I think everybody wants us to spend money on public safety. So when you look at what's left, it's really not a lot of money, and all it's used to fund is you have to have, like, your assessor recorder, your tax collector, your auditor,
sure.
your elections. And so it's not like there's a whole big suitcase of money in the back room that we can just say, oh, we're going to spend it over here. Because, again, 85% of it is dictated by the state and the feds.
The last question I have, then I'll give you the last 2 minutes, is, even if we go over, it's still my show. You moved to only have 25 meetings a year. The board of supervisors used to meet every week, and with a 2 week off, and each year it seems to get less. Why less meetings?
Well, things have changed, haven't they? The way we do business and stuff. It used to be it took a lot longer to get information in there, that kind of stuff, to do the follow up. It's what I find it interesting. People can, you know, mention about the supervisors, yet the city councils have been doing 2 meetings a month forever. And it's a matter of getting your work done. I can tell you, prior to, you know, this last year or two, where we just had, you know, a lot of extra public comment, there were meetings we would have, board of supervisors meetings, that lasted 45 minutes. And that was not uncommon, maybe an hour, hour and a half. So that means you have all that prep time for that. You have all that staff there for that, all the resources spent on that for 45 minutes. It's being more efficient with what we have. It's putting the time, putting the meetings into, maybe it's a bigger packet, but it means you just have to do your homework. And the other thing that people think sometimes don't realize is they think that we only have a Tuesday board meeting and that's all we do. I have 12 or 14 other assignments that involve being on boards that conduct other business. I travel down to Sacramento, Rockland, Willows, Williams, sometimes down to San Diego, whatever it might be, to sit on these other boards. And I have to prep and work for all those boards as well, not to mention when I still try to meet.
And this is every supervisor.
Yes. Now, some have more than others, but and I travel more than others because of my assignments. But we all have assignments we're supposed to be doing. Some do it more than others. But, yes, we all have – it's divvied up, so not just one person has all the assignments. So it's a case of, you know, spending your time on those things as well, which are all important to the public. And
okay. Last minute or so is yours.
Well, I just would say a couple things. One, there's a lot of misinformation and misleading information being spread out there. That's because someone has $400,000, $450,000 to spread the information. It's based it's pretty much all innuendos and falsehoods. They say things like, I don't support the Second Amendment. That's ridiculous. I absolutely support the Second Amendment. I'm a police officer. I own guns. I grew up around guns. I have said publicly at our meetings and voted that I support the Second Amendment. What I didn't support and what I said I didn't want to have back was the 16-page manifesto that someone wrote up that was so full of illegalities and stuff that it could never be used on anything. But people want to twist that. They said that I personally dismantled the marijuana eradication team. That's totally not true. It was dissolved by the sheriff back in 2016. And the reason why is he lost his state and federal funding. He couldn't afford to pay for it. It had nothing to do with me. So I just would tell people out there that what they're hearing is made up information. It really is. And then I'll just would finish with by saying that, you know, I've served this county for a lot of years as a police officer and now as the Board of Supervisors. It's a place that's very dear and near to me. I care a lot about this county. I want it to be a good place to live for people to work and raise their kids. And I think that's what we all want. And that's what I'm committed to. I'm committed to doing it, try to do what I think is best for the county, not just for some small group, but for the county as a whole.
Okay. Thanks for coming on, Supervisor Leonard Modi. We're going to break for the news and then come back with Shasta College. We'll be right back.
And I'm Adam. 10 years ago, we started Legacy Box to help families convert their aging media to digital. Here's how it works. Fill Legacy Box with your camcorder tapes, film reels, and photos. We professionally digitize and send them back on DVDs, thumb drives, or the cloud, ready to watch and share. Legacy Box is the world's largest, most trusted home movie and photo digitizer. Over 450,000 families have used Legacy Box, and we've been featured on Good Morning America, Rachel Ray, and The Today Show. Dust off those recorded moments and preserve your family's history so it can be easily passed down for generations. Experience peace of mind and enjoy reliving the glory days. Order your Legacy Box today. Visit legacybox.com/lbox for a limited time to get 40% off your order. That's legacybox.com/lbox for 40% off. legacybox.com/lbox.
A man in Maryland has been busted after he got stuck in a chimney.
At first, police didn't find anyone when a possible break-in was reported at 3 in the morning in a Silver Spring home. But police returned when residents said they heard noises. This time, they found the man stuck in the chimney. He was taken to a hospital under police escort. After firefighters were able to free him, police did say the man was not wearing a red suit and there was no sign of any reindeer on the roof. Jason Walker reporting.
The pandemic has receded as a top priority in many voters' minds to start 2022, with the economy and rising worries about inflation overshadowing coronavirus concerns. That potentially spells political trouble for Democrats heading into the midterm elections. A poll from the Associated Press finds just 37% of Americans say COVID-19 is a top priority. News and analysis at townhall.com. Children in Uganda have expressed their joy at finally returning to school nearly 2 years after they were closed because of COVID-19.
Schools have been instructed to put in place hand-washing facilities, make sure all students wear masks, and stay socially distanced inside classrooms. The government has said that all students who have not accessed any form of studying will be promoted to the next class. There will be targeted work to give them a chance to catch up. However, Uganda's National Planning Authority projected that at least 30% of all students who were in school before the pandemic may never return.
That's BBC correspondent Patience Atuhari reporting. Police body camera video shows a harrowing rescue in California where a small plane crashed on railroad tracks shortly after takeoff from a suburban Los Angeles airfield. The Federal Aviation Administration says the plane and a Metrolink train came roaring through only minutes later. More on these stories at Town Hall.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning. Linda's on assignment this morning. Today, the 10th of January, 2022, 8:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Care and compassion, community encouraged, Shasta Regional Medical Center. Phone lines here, 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. You can also hop into our chat room there, as many of you have. Lots of comments from our last hour. What's the weather look like here for the rest of the week?
We are looking at highs in the low 60s and lows in the low 40s throughout most of the week. Wind is going to be less than 10 miles per hour basically every day. And it's coming from the north-northeast, which means it should be keeping those overnight temperatures above, well above freezing. We're looking at 41 tonight, 42 tomorrow night, with a high of 61 today and 63 tomorrow. And pretty much copy-paste that throughout the rest of the week.
Okay.
I also wanted to announce that it is also National Save the Eagles Day.
That's not the Philadelphia Eagles.
I assume
it's not. Too late for them. Save the Eagles. You know, this is another great work, conservation act that worked as far as the bald eagle work. People were afraid that they were going to die out, our national symbol, but now it's got a very strong, healthy population
and,
here in the lower 48 and up in Alaska. I mean, my gosh, in Alaska, they're in some areas they're like pigeons, which is good.
Our local Redding Eagle Watchers,
Yeah.
The Friends of the Redding Eagles, they got a new camera with sound and infrared and all of that this last year, and so hatching season is about to start. So they're pretty excited about
No, is there no privacy left?
Not for eagles.
Well, hardly for anybody. Okay. Hey, the weather reports are always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Chuck and Judy Kinney started this business a couple of decades ago and have prospered, and they have helped their customers. Their customers are warm friends to them, and they provide the finest service because all the propane comes out of one tank. So it becomes customer service, and that's what Shasta Gas Propane provides, just outstanding customer service. They give discounts for seniors and veterans, and as I mentioned, it's a veteran-owned business, so you can give them a call at 365-3793. Well, I have Shasta College here. Peter Greets, good morning, buddy.
Hey, good morning, Carl.
And Peter is the guy that kind of puts all these shows together before, and, you know, you've brought in ones that I've thought, this is a 10-minute show. Why did you bring in the horticulture guys? And it turns out I needed more time. The guy with the mohawk that came in,
right,
along with the instructor, but the turns out that he is was a veteran in the military, several tours in one of the stands there in Afghanistan, and horticulture is something that he found that he loved, and in fact, there's 100 jobs from anybody that graduated. Mm-hmm. I mean, 100 different types of jobs. And everybody gets hired out of the horticulture class.
Well, with so many of our programs that we've had in here, we've heard that same thing.
Yeah.
Which is great. Again, Shasta's supposed to be the community college.
Well, you know, the thing that, you know, people push and push and push for everybody to get a 4-year education. Well, that's fine. You know, and for some people, there are some people, though, that say, you know what, that does not interest me, but driving this caterpillar, this earth mover, or welding, or actually learning a trade that pays them a lot of money, I shouldn't say a lot of money, but a living wage, and then a family living wage is important.
Well,
and y'all are doing that.
We are, and that's it's a great thing to be a part of this community, be a part of someone's life who's looking to, you know, upskill their career. Or even, you know, reskill. We've had guests in here, as you know, who have been looking for that second career. It's a wonderful way to be a part of this community and changing someone's life to the positive.
Well, I got to drive a mini excavator.
You were telling us last time.
Oh, did I tell you last time?
I saw those pictures on Facebook.
Oh, you did? I fell in love. You know, I was going to drive it down our street and dig holes for people and then charge them to fill it up.
Well, you know, John Livingston was out here just a couple of shows ago and telling you about the heavy equipment program. Got to have you out there.
Yeah, now you can kind of like computer load it.
Oh, yeah.
On the stuff, and you sit back and listen to your tunes and make sure it doesn't fall off a cliff.
Well, all the GPS he was talking about, it was amazing.
Laser leveling?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You brought with you Dr. Kevin O'Rourke.
Indeed, I did. Kevin is the VP of Student Services at the college, but he is also the CEO of North State Together. And from our last show, we were talking a little bit about all the things that Shasta College is involved in with Dr. Joe Wise, the president out at the college. And he had mentioned North State Together. And Linda was really interested. I'm sorry that she's missing this program. She'll have to, hopefully she's listening. And so
She probably is.
She had asked if we could do a show on North State Together and just some of the great things that that group is involved in out at the college and in our community. So
okay.
I asked Kevin if he would come and join us this morning.
Dr. Kevin O'Rourke, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
O'Rourke, and I mentioned this, was if you ever watched John Ford movies, of course, Westerns, but he did a trilogy of cavalry pictures. And one of them was called Ford Apache. And the O'Rourkes played a large part in that. It was Sergeant Major O'Rourke and Lieutenant O'Rourke in the movie. And so I've known other O'Rourkes in my life, too. But they all spelled their names a little bit different than you did.
They had a U in it, probably.
Yeah, they had a U in it. Yeah. Tell us about you. How'd you get here? You're a doctor. So obviously you've put some time in.
yeah. Thank you for having me again. So I've been here about 15 years. I was born in California, but I split some time with California and Idaho growing up. But I was somewhat of a nomad, just kind of working at different universities and colleges across the country. I met my wife when I was teaching for Arizona State University.
And what did you teach?
I taught educational psychology, tests and measurements, learning, motivation, things to prepare teachers, but then also some developmental psychology stuff.
I don't remember when I was getting my teacher's degree that they were giving us motivation classes. I think it was survival class. But, you know, and if you could do the student teaching in our college, that we did a whole semester, and I was teaching 5 classes a day as a student teacher. It was interesting. Went into the Marine Corps, it was safer.
So they definitely can motivate you there.
You know, I was motivated. Yes, I was totally motivated. My hat's off to teachers. I'm not crazy about unions, but teachers. So how'd you end up then over at Shasta?
Sure. So I was working in South Florida, and my wife and I, we actually liked it there, but we got hit by about 6 hurricanes in 2 years, and my wife joked and said, give me an earthquake any day, so we need to move back out west where she is from. So we saw an opening that came up at Shasta College, and I was fortunate enough to earn the position, and we love it here, and I've been here for 15 years now, and we call it our home. We have two daughters in the school system, so we're enjoying our time here. It's flying. It's going fast.
Good. Okay, Ray, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about his job as Vice President of Student Services and just what is North State Together. This portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. It's a new year. Do you need a second opinion on retirement plans or 401ks? Give Judy a call for a free review and evaluation at 221-0441. She's been helping families, veterans, seniors, and business owners since 1993. So you get a little, you get some time under your belt like that, and you've seen almost everything. Any type of insurance or financial help, 221-0441. We'll be right back.
This song is for those who taught us right from wrong, who taught us much more than their craft to help our minds grow strong. This song is for those who guide us through and through.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW Renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining. The birds are singing. And there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that. And it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta spring water.
Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage is having a grand opening at their new location in the Shasta Gateway Center at 1773 Highway 273 in Anderson, January 22nd. They feature new and existing vendors along with collectible glassware, jewelry, sports memorabilia, Tiffany lamps, antique desks and dressers, dolls and toys, clothing and hats, and much, much more. It's Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage grand opening with free drawings throughout the day. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at their new location in the Shasta Gateway Center at 1773 Highway 273, Anderson.
Moment in History, presented by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. Briggsville is California Historical Landmark Number 7. It was an 1849 gold mining settlement besides Clear Creek, approximately 1 mile east of Horsetown, where early gold miner James Reagan supposedly took gold out by the panful. The town site was located by Ben Briggs and was first known as Breechesburg because the miners wandered around without wearing any breeches. When the first female resident, Mrs. Briggs, arrived, she demanded that the miners must wear breeches or she would leave. Not only did they begin wearing breeches, they named a town for her. Briggsville became the location of the Landrum and Briggs Toll Bridge across Clear Creek in the 1850s, as a stage stop for the Hall and Crandall stage line in 1853, and was the location of the Lean Hotel in 1860. A Moment in History, presented by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith.
Want to get more Dottie? Go to the Shasta County Historical Society.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to 3-5 Radio here in the studio. It's KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. It is the 10th of January, 8:18 in the morning, 44 degrees out there. It doesn't look like it's going to rain today. It's just cloudy. Rest of the week's going to be kind of like this, except nicer. So no rain forecast this week. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, the only area hospital with a Da Vinci XI surgical robotic system. Less pain, reduced risk, faster recovery times. The TAVR valve replacement, where instead of opening your chest up to put a new valve in, they run it right up your artery. Replace the valve, you're up that afternoon, and literally home the next day in almost all cases. That's Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here. I'm with Shasta College, and I'm talking to Dr. Kevin O'Rourke, who is Vice President of Student Services. He told us how he got here, and it was a convoluted way that if you looked and you told a 5-year-old, go get something, you know, he wanders through the house, the neighborhood, and everything, and comes back, but he ends up in the right spot.
There you go.
So I assume that you're at the right spot, right, Dr. O'Rourke?
I am.
Okay. What do you do in Vice President of Student Services? What's that mean?
Sure. So, being part of the student services team, we primarily provide all the auxiliary services that are needed for students to be successful at the college. And it starts with, you know, simple things like if somebody is interested at the college, making sure that getting the information to them is easy. We work a lot with Peter's office in the marketing department. Over the past couple of years, Peter's taking our marketing team, you know, to the next level, and you can see a lot of the evidence around that around town, whether it's the marketing materials on, you know, the buses or on the internet, on social media sites, etc. So, we try to bring students in and we try to give them a soft entrance into the college, make them feel welcome, make the enrollment process seamless. Hopefully the application is not too cumbersome. And then, from there, if, any sort of, kind of aptitude testing or career counseling is needed, we have them see our counselors. And once they identify which path they would want to go, it could be undecided at the time, or they could kind of be laser focused on one particular degree or certificate. Then we have our counselors sit down with them and develop what we call an educational plan and map out exactly what they would take, you know, from the fall semester to the spring semester, how long it would take. And then we also want to get them plugged into our financial aid office to make sure that any financial aid that they're eligible for, they will receive to help them with offsetting costs of textbooks, enrollment fees, travel expenses, etc. And then what we try to do is while a student is enrolled and going to class, we try to stay in touch with them just to see how they're doing, do check-ins, and make sure that they're getting everything they need. We have an excellent tutoring services center at the college to get them.
Is that free, or do they have to pay for tutoring?
It's absolutely free. Well, okay. It's part of their enrollment fees. So once they're
part
enrolled
of the enrollment
the college,
fees. Okay. So if you need some help in math, I know it's hard to believe that people might.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Do you have like you used to call it bonehead English and bonehead math? You also have that?
Well, we have different levels of, English and math courses as students come in. And we work with the counselors. The counselors work with the student for their comfort level. And it's across the board. Some students come in and they're really nervous about taking, an English or a math class. And so they want to start at a lower level, kind of developmental class, to build their confidence as they go up. Other students want to go in and they just want to go right to the top and see where they're at. Right now we do go through kind of an assessment process with them, and we talk with them about their comfort level. We do look at, you know, their high school transcripts to see what classes they took there to match. And then, we plug them in where we think that they are at the time. And then we work with them through the.
Yeah, you don't want to throw them into something that they'll fail right away. But are kids better prepared or less prepared than they used to be?
Well, they're getting better prepared now. And that's due to a lot of the work that they've done locally, not just in Shasta County, but mm-hmm. in the other surrounding counties, in making sure that...
Well, you hear so much about high school students, and I don't necessarily think that's in Shasta County. Mm-hmm. But in other places, you know, a 12th grader reads at the 8th grade level. Their math is like 6th grade. Do you find that?
Yeah, one of the data points that I was bringing to the conversation today was kind of bragging about some of the work that's been done in Shasta County. Judy Flores, Jim Cloney, et cetera, have done a lot of great work in increasing the college eligibility courses that students have taken. So we've seen a 15% increase recently in students who are graduating at the high school level who have taken coursework. That means that they can plug right into
college-level math English. You've got high school students going to Shasta College right now.
We do. We have two programs, our concurrent enrollment program, which means that the student would take classes on the Shasta College campus, but probably the more important one is our dual enrollment program, which means that a student can take a course at their high school at the same time earning college credit.
So somebody could come in there and graduate in a year?
Potentially, depending on how many courses that they took when they were, a senior.
They can transfer your courses into a four-year.
Absolutely, yes.
I mean, from that 1 year they've taken classes.
And they don't pay for those courses, importantly. So if they take them at the high school level, they do not have to pay any enrollment fees.
They don't pay any of the tuition.
Right. Well, I don't know if they offered that when I was in school. Maybe they did. They just didn't offer it to me.
I'll tell you, it was huge. My older son did just what you're describing, is went through, took from a sophomore, junior, and senior level, mm-hmm. took enough college courses that he entered Shasta College as a sophomore, did 1 year at Shasta, and then transferred to Sac State. So he completed his bachelor's and two minors in 3 years because of Shasta College, because of that dual
enrollment.
Well, people
can do that. People don't realize they can do that, take those, because a lot of kids in high school, they're ready for it. They already are ready for that next step. Mm-hmm. Before we take our break, let's start with this. What is North State Together, Dr. O'Rourke?
Sure. So North State Together is made up of five counties, so Shasta, Tehama, Trinity, Modoc, and Siskiyou. And within each one of those, counties, they have formed what we call collective impact teams. And so collective impact, just a broad definition, means that a group of community leaders, individuals from various organizations, whether it's education community, the business community, civic leaders, faith-based groups, each county had the autonomy to build their own team. And what happens is they all came together from these different perspectives and different work worlds, but they said, what would be the best thing for us to work on? In other words, what improvement would we like to see that aligns well with all of our organizations and our institutions? And then they develop goals and strategies around that to work together instead of independently or potentially even against each other to develop those. And that was a really big thing in the counties, because all of our counties kind of had a kind of a point of pride of just working independently and autonomously. But what we've done is each one of those counties have formed those collective impact teams. And what North State Together does is it's the backbone organization that kind of helps each one of those counties research whether or not their strategies are working, whether they're effective or not. And then we also act as a conduit to let one county know if they're struggling in an area, hey, there's another county over here that's doing really well. Let's bring a group of people from this county to the other one.
Can you give an example of one of these?
Sure. The Modoc actually has made great gains over the past couple of years, and their collective impact team is called AMI, which stands for Advancing Modoc Youth. And so what they wanted to do was provide their seniors an opportunity to get work experience. And so they went out to the businesses and they said, is there any way that we can embed in the senior year at Modoc High a internship in one of the businesses? And you wouldn't believe it, but the businesses there provided, they were more businesses than high school seniors that wanted an intern to come work for them. And so they were able to successfully get every single high school senior plugged into an internship at a local business so they could get real world experience. And the employers got to look at some of these students as well to see if they wanted to hire them either in the summer or after they graduated from high school. And so, Trinity County, after seeing the successes on that, built off of some of those things and started offering similar career opportunities and career fairs and career experiences in Trinity County. So that was a real successful win for North State Together. And what we were able to do was provide them some data on where those students were going and if that strategy was effective or not, and it certainly was.
So are we doing that in Shasta County?
We have some of that going on right now. Shasta's a little bit different than Modoc because of the number of the joke in Modoc is that they have more cows than people, which is actually true.
Oh, that's been true for a century.
And so
and more ground squirrels than both combined.
So yeah, they certainly take a look at it, and that's kind of the beauty of North State Together is that each county has the autonomy to make some of these best practices or promising practices work for them and Shasta County, and Reach Higher Shasta, which is their collective impact team, has certainly taken a look at that.
Okay, we're here with Shasta College, Dr. Kevin O'Rourke and Peter Griggs. We're talking about North State Together. We're going to take a quick break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans, the best barbershop around. It's the only one I've gone to since I've lived here. So, I guess I could go to other places, to kind of sample. But why go someplace else when you're getting the exact haircut you want and the camaraderie at Cypress Square Barbershop. They work by appointments only, 244-9478, Man's Last Stronghold. No Dr. Phil on the TV. We'll be right back.
You changed my life.
Last month, the Shasta County Board of Supervisors had the opportunity to not renew the contract for the Dominion voting machines. This was a lease agreement valued at over $2 million. Supervisor Modi voted to renew the lease agreement and continue using Dominion machines. Now we find out that a representative from Dominion Voting, Inc. has donated money directly to Modi's campaign account. Shasta County, you deserve better. Vote yes, recall Modi. Paid for by Shasta General Purpose Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Berks Construction Management is a local Reading business that specializes in construction management. BCM is a North State leader in project management, pre-construction design, and all facets of construction. They always have a 25% discount for our veterans and first responders, and during these difficult times, they would like to extend a helping hand to the community by offering all fire victims a 25% discount also for the remainder of the year. Berks Construction Management can be reached at 530-338-2010. That's 530-338-2010. Berks Construction Management.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA or go online to sfymca.org.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, I'm Krista Reed, a teacher and mama bear. I've watched as Shasta County's Board of Supervisors put our children and youth last. This recall is a chance to put our kids first. Vote yes to recall Modi. Vote for Tim Garman, a Papa Bear who took a stand for Happy Valley's children. We need someone who will put our kids first. That person is Tim Garman. Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Swinging vines, swing my heart across the line. In my face is flashing signs. Seek it out and ye shall find the old.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Here in the studios, KCNR. I was waiting for that kind of school type thing. Because you're so good at these.
The seek and ye shall find was what.
Oh, seek and ye shall find. Okay, okay, got it.
I'm running a little low on teacher songs, so if you want to find one for me, let me know.
Okay. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're here with Shasta College, and this portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Any of your tobacco needs is there. They have a great grab bag of cigars. They have the finest walk-in humidor in the North State. They support our community in a number of different ways, working with our 501s, our nonprofits. Tobacco and Brew, been in the business for about 40 years. They're open Monday through Saturday at 2143 Hilltop Drive. I'm here with Peter Griggs from Shasta College and Dr. Kevin O'Rourke. I would like, before we start with that, by saying is that, yes, we are having our first show of two guys talking, Ted Leidy and myself, the last Thursday of each month, and we went out and asked for names. We thought we'd have the name by now, but so many names have come in, well over 300, with ideas, some of which I like and some which he likes. It may take a poll from our listeners on what it's going to be, but we're trying to winnow the names down to the top 20, and then we'll get it down to the top 10 and then to the top 5, and then let y'all vote on that. So that's still coming, and we have not forgotten you. Okay, Dr. O'Rourke, we're talking about the North State Together. One of the questions, and I kind of asked about this earlier, but literacy rates in the North State. And again, this kind of goes back to the fact that we see our test scores being lower, even though we spend a lot of money on education. But the literacy rates seem to be dropping. And it's not just here, of course, but it's throughout California. In fact, we probably have higher rates here up in Shasta County than some of the others. But throughout many places in the United States, is this something that is just anecdotal, or is this true?
Well, it's good news and it's bad news. The good news is we're getting better. But the bad news is there was a period of time where we weren't collecting good data to even be able to assess where we were compared to the statewide average. And so a lot of the work that we're doing in North State Together are getting individuals to report data in a way that we could accurately assess it. So many of the counties, you know, they may have instituted a strategy to increase, let's say, literacy rates. And they felt like it was working. But maybe it wasn't. And we really didn't quite know. We were going off a feel. And so over the past couple years, we have honed in on our data collection procedures, and we've made them common throughout all the counties within North State Together, the five different counties. So we're comparing apples to apples, finally. And that's a great starting point, because some of the counties discovered they were doing really well when it came to some of their strategies to improve literacy rates, and others discovered that they weren't doing so hot. But that was actually a good thing, because for the first time they recognized that what they were doing was not impacting those students in a positive way. And so as time has gone on, we now feel confident that we are collecting that information, and we report out out that it's accurate. And so to answer your question specifically, the literacy rate for the average state of California is about 48%. In the North State Together counties collectively is about 41%.
Well,
yeah, a little bit higher in Shasta County. So
now,
we are down.
When we say literacy rate, what do we mean by that?
Well, there's different measurements that we look at. The first one that starts, I'll just kind of go through chronologically what you would look at from a human development perspective. So the first thing that we do at North State Together is we do what's called a kindergarten readiness program. So we assess children, you know, right before kindergarten year, traditional kindergarten year, to see if they're ready for kindergarten or not. The reason we do this is if we can discover that a student is behind in, say, numeracy or literacy or social emotional behaviors, we can let that kindergarten teacher know right then, this is what this student needs to work on. And then they can catch that student up before then they go into first grade. And so the whole idea behind North State Together is to solve problems before they occur.
Okay.
And so not to get off track too much, but the college itself, I'm extremely proud of the student services programs that we have at the college. However, when you take a look at all of the programs that we have, I would say more than half of them in student services are designed to solve problems after they've already occurred. So you're fixing a problem.
Instead of preventing it.
Correct. And so what is the, you know, the sustainability of being able to continually do that. And so the point of North State Together is to go up the river, solve the problems before they occur. That way, when they're coming out of our school system, the K-12 system.
Well, a 41% literacy rate is scary to me. When we say literacy rate, I think math, English, reading, what else? I mean, those three are really big ones. Can they speak English? Can they write a sentence? Can they add? Can they do simple? And when you say 41%, I mean, when they graduate at that level, then you've got to take them at Shasta College or wherever else they go to.
Yeah, there's a caveat to this, though. COVID has affected our area more significantly than other areas, not just in the state of California, but across the country. When COVID hit, a lot of people just kind of simplified it and said, oh, everybody just go online. Well, when you look at some of our counties and the lack of broadband access that some of our families and our students have, it wasn't as simple for us just to transfer all of our students into online education.
Yeah, of course not.
So we got impacted much more in a negative manner than other students that you may see in a, you know, in an urban environment or a large area.
Are they still testing students at the end of the year? To see if they're, you know, they used to have, at the end of the year, you had to take tests.
Sure, there's a standardized test that they would have to.
And if they couldn't pass the standardized test, they wouldn't graduate. Is that true?
There's a standardized test that they take in the end of their junior year before they go into their senior year.
Before they go into senior
and,
year.
And that was a lot of the problem. So kudos to Reach Higher Shasta, which is the team here in Shasta County.
Mm-hmm.
What used to happen is people would take that test in their junior year. They would pass it, parents and students. They'd kind of wipe their forehead and say, whew, all right, we're set. We no longer have to worry about what I take for my senior year. So they may not have taken a class their senior year in math or another higher level English class. Okay. And then even if they were good in those subjects, they might have forgotten some of that content by the time they stepped into a college classroom their first year. So what Reach Higher Shasta did was they really made an effort to make sure that every senior's schedule was meaningful. It kept them engaged with the content. That way they were fully ready to go. And we've seen a lot of gains in Shasta County because of that effort.
Okay. So that would be a win.
A huge win.
Okay.
Don't take your senior year off. That was the message.
I remember my senior year. I don't remember taking it off. So this is what you're talking about when you're talking about the cradle to graduation.
Yeah, cradle to career. Yeah. Yes.
And so you start them at before kindergarten, preschool. Let's talk preschool for a second.
Sure.
I see all these statistics. It says if you send a kid to preschool, he's either got an 80% chance or something, huge number of graduating from high school.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
Yes. Preschool has been proven empirically to have a positive impact not only on success rates of children that go through the the first through 12 system, but also beyond. It gets more difficult to move from a, you know, a correlation once you get to a higher education, but there's definitely a significant impact on, a positive impact on students who enroll in kindergarten.
Let's move from North State Together to the Community Leadership Center.
Sure.
What is that?
So we're really excited about this. In 2016, the voters approved a Measure H bond for us, and we've used that money in a way to upgrade facilities at the Tehama campus, Trinity campus, and also the main Reading campus. We have a new, beautiful new veteran center that's there. We have a new computer information systems building. And so one of the projects that we wanted to engage in is this community leadership center. Again, we're extremely proud of our campus at the Reading site. It is beautiful. It's spread out. But the reality is it's about 6 miles outside of town. So if you're, you know, lucky enough to have, reliable transportation to get out there, you can enjoy it. However, what we wanted to do was to expand our infrastructure in footprint in a high-profile central location, and we saw that as downtown Reading. We saw what was happening here with some of the upgrades and the new construction, and we wanted to plug into that. And so the idea behind the Community Leadership Center is we have some programs at the college that are open to community members, not just students. So what we wanted to do was replicate those programs or move them into a high profile area with a large population density, which is downtown Reading. And so those are the programs that we're going to be putting in this building. It's right next to that new parking garage.
That's right down the street here.
That's right. Yeah. To Hayman.
I can hit it with a well-thrown baseball.
Yep.
Well thrown.
Yes. And so we're extremely excited about that. We think that this will allow us to kind of provide that leadership in the community that we've always wanted. I always joke with people that actually I don't joke with them. It's actually sad and kind of serious, but our largest building in town is our jail. And so our children, my child in particular.
It's not big enough.
My child in particular equates tall buildings in other cities with, you know, she asked me, you know, which one is their jail? And so, you know, psychologically connecting tall buildings in other cities is...
Do you explain to her that there's bad people out there that need to be put away forever?
I do my best, but again, going back to... we want to
I'm
try
sorry,
to,
that has nothing
no,
to do
no.
with you.
I'm trying to solve problems before they occur. So we want this new structure in downtown Reading to be a sign that we want our citizens to come to Shasta College and take advantage of the programs and the services that we have that could positively impact their lives. And this program is going, I think this building is going to do that.
Okay. Okay, we got to take a break. We're going to come back and talk about the programs in that building and a few other things. This portion of the show is brought to you by one of my favorite groups of people. That's Shasta-Siskiyou Transport, SSTOL. Why do I really like this company? One, it's an employee-owned company, an all-American employee-owned company. They have been around since 1967. They help our community and our nonprofits in a number of different ways besides just donating to them, which they do in the cyclic rate. But they also deliver the goods. That's right. And they work in all of Western United States delivering the oil, the gas, the fuel that's needed to keep our economy and to keep our people going. They have the fuel network cards that are good in 61,000 different places. You can get one for your business, which we have, and it keeps track of where you're going, how much gas you're using, and all this for your employees. Also, they are the sales for the Toyo heater and the Toyo water heater. So you'll have a heated house and hot water. They have a number of different things that they work on during the year, and they're always looking for good employees. They'll train you to drive a truck for them. They have many well-paying jobs there. They take care of their employees because it is an employee-owned company. You can give them a call at 241-1167. That's 241-1167. We'll be right back.
Teacher, I wrote this song for you. Melody, words, and rhyme. Let's
lessons you taught me yesterday.
Explore your world right from home with Turtle Bay TV.
Daintree is a jungle carpet python.
Featuring free educational and distance learning content for a virtual experience the whole family will enjoy.
Welcome to the vault.
Start streaming now at turtlebay.org.
The Backbone Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backbone Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Backbone Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
Premier, your friendly oil change.
Many accidents are caused by worn wiper blades. Let's face it, it's just uncomfortable when you're driving in the rain, snow, fog, and everything else in between with worn blades. At Premier Oil Change, when you buy one wiper blade, you get the second blade free. Yes, now through January 15th, you buy one wiper blade and get the second one free for as little as $15.99. At Premier Oil Change, we make maintaining your car easy. There's no need for an appointment. You don't drop your car off or wait. Just pull in, enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park and our newest location in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Home of the friendly oil change.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
There's more to explore with a Turtle Bay membership. Get unlimited access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and beyond. Family memberships are only $90 a year. That's less than $8 a month for a whole year of fun. Join today at turtlebay.org.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back. You don't have to turn it all the way down. I'm still dancing. Thanks, Ashley. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Hey, tomorrow we're going to have on Shasta Regional Medical Center, also Turtle Bay. We'll find out how Turtle Bay did with the Garden of Lights this year. And Shasta Regional about what's going on with the COVID and other things that they are doing. They're always introducing something new. Today we're with Shasta College, Peter Griggs, who heads up all of their outreach.
There you go.
Your outreach to everywhere out there. So, and does a great job. And then Dr. Kevin O'Rourke, who is Vice President, I like to say O'Rourke, Vice President of Student Services, and he's the CEO of North State Together. We've been talking about that. Now we're talking about the Community Leadership Center that's being built right now down the street from us, in the, and the Block 7 group there. How many programs, or what are the programs that are going to be housed in there? I mean, you're putting a new building there.
Yeah, we're really excited about the programming for that building. Just to mention a couple of them, I'll start off with our foster kinship care program. A lot of people don't realize that we have a really high percentage of foster youth in Shasta County. In fact, Shasta College has the second highest number of foster students enrolled at any of the community colleges in the state of California.
A lot of our a number of our foster kids aren't even from this area either, are they?
I don't know the specifics on it, but I do know a lot of them come from
other areas here for foster care.
Correct.
And so you've got a large number of them. What do you see with that?
Well, what this foster kinship care program does, it recruits individuals who may want to become foster parents. It helps them fill out the paperwork, get through some of the red tape that they have to go through. Also gives them classes on, parenting classes. And it also helps them form kind of a community of foster parents. And so that's been an extremely valuable program, an exceptional program. But we were running out of space to teach some of the classes. And so this will allow us to expand our ability to help support some of those parents that are interested. Our community education program is going into the building, which is a wonderful program. Again, we were limited by space by which courses that we could offer, but it's anything from anybody who would want to. So these are not degree or certificate seeking classes. This is just community members that want to come in. Let's say you want to take a Photoshop class or get to, be better at Excel spreadsheets, or let's say because it's connected to the River Trail, you want to take a bird watching class or some nature courses. So this is going to allow us to expand our community.
Are you
going to
have classes like that?
Yes.
How to Photoshop?
Yes. There's an unbelievable list of courses that are offered through our community education program, and it's going to get bigger and better as they move into.
Now, does that cost anything?
It does. I'm not sure. Do you remember what the
right? So various classes set their own fees. If you go to our website, you can find those. But there are a number of we've actually had Lori Berry out on the station before, and she's talked everything from field trips down to the Bay Area on railroads, to learning yoga, learning martial arts, and each one of those has a different fee structure to it.
Okay. All right.
The taxes changes. That was one of the more popular ones. There was a lot of changes in our tax code, and so a lot of people were signing up for that one. We also have our whole entire economic workforce development division is moving in there that offers job training and businesses support development. So if you have a startup business and you need some help, kind of designing a plan around opening a business, they can assist you with that. So we're really proud of the work that everybody's doing in our economic workforce development division. North State Together is going to be in there. And then we also have a relatively new program called Scale. And it's research. It's taking best practices and research and trying to apply it outwardly into some of the communities. I'll give you an example so we don't have to talk about it at the level of theory. So when the car fire hit, and the fire tornado or whatever they called it, there were scientists from around the country that were interested in coming and studying that, but there really wasn't a place for them to land and set up shop to study that. So one of the ideas behind the Scale Research Department is that we would have a place for visiting researchers or scholars to come in and set up shop, and they could stay there and have a workstation, and then help contribute to some of the science and the research that comes back to helping our community.
Well, that's okay, and that's going to be opening when?
So its plan is for January 2023. So about a year from
2023.
Yeah.
Wow.
Going up quick.
So many things. We're here with Dr. Kevin O'Rourke from Shasta College, who's the Vice President of Student Services. We talked about the things that Student Services does, and that also includes Veteran Services, I'm sure.
Yeah, correct. We have a brand new veteran center at the college. We'd encourage anybody who wants to just come out to the campus and take a look at it. We are very proud of the services that we provide to our veterans population. We are actively trying to recruit more veterans into the college, but the wraparound services that we provide them, I think, are some of the best in the state. We have a dedicated counselor, dedicated financial aid technician, dedicated admissions and records technician. And so if you are a veteran out there and are looking about, you know, going and taking some college classes, recareering, whatever, please come and see us.
And you can get, I guess it would be what's the word I'm looking for? It can be like a you can get credit for your military time in some classes.
Correct. They'll do a full evaluation to see if you have any prior for credit work experience. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times the experience that a veteran comes with is eligible for credit that they can get on their transcript.
Okay, which means they can graduate sooner.
Correct.
Okay. What would you tell parents that are listening that about preparing their kids for college?
Well, again, going back to the theme of trying to solve problems before they occur, being proactive, not waiting until a problem gets so large that it kind of manifests itself in different ways down the road. I think for new parents, like you mentioned, getting students in or getting your young ones into preschool, reading to them often as you can. There's a very clear line between, how students are prepared going into kindergarten and how they progress going out. And if you can solve some of those problems before they occur, you're going to have a much, much, better time, and the student will have a better time going into higher education.
See, here I was thinking a kindergarten was kind of a relaxing time for kids. You just were trying to teach them not to pick their nose and eat it, eat the paste, those kind of things. But now they're being evaluated before they even get in.
The brain development that's happening in a child that age is unbelievable, and it sets the stage for their later years for sure.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Dr. O'Rourke.
Thank you very much.
And Peter, thanks again.
Thank you, Carl.
The hour flew by.
Always great.
It is. We enjoy Shasta College. There's so many things, so many advantages out there, but today's show shows how we're reaching out across the spectrum, five different counties, taking a good look at the educational system.
January 19th, school starts. Come see us.
January 19th.